Have your Bibles open to John chapter 10. I'm going to be reading verses 22 through 33 in a few moments after I begin the message. And the message is entitled, Jesus' Message to Us, a Celebration of Dedication from Darkness to Light. Father, as we come to the study of your word on this day, the day in which two world religions, which are really just one, have coincided, which does not happen very often on this day, and has provoked for me what I hope will be a blessing for your people here today, that not only that will they learn things about these two religious entities that come together and are only really one when it is truly seen what they are about. And I just pray that it will bring blessing and salvation to any who are in need of it here in this place, and edification to others who know about these things, and blessing to all of us as we gather before your word. For I pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Messiah Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our King. In His name, Amen. Well, friends, that day is here. As you drive through the city today, you're going to see Christian homes filled with lights, often lights of many colors. At the same time, if you pass Jewish homes this evening, you will not see large amounts of lights, but you will see people gathering together in celebration, and you'll also see lights. Those lights will be generally attached to something like this, or actually more accurately, like this. Not too many people have large menorahs. They'll have small ones. And you put candles in on Hanukkah, starting with one on the first day, then two on the second, third, etc., until the eighth day, and then all eight are lit up. And so there is that light, which is a factor that plays a little bit. Actually, the light plays more of a factor in Hanukkah and the Jewish holiday. We'll see that in a minute. So you see, today there are two celebrations occurring that this year coincide exactly. And because there is the calendar that's used in Israel, it's a lunar calendar, the dates are different, and it's not very often that you have this togetherness of the two, of Hanukkah and Christmas. For us, Christmas is the 25th of December. That is a date that was picked for the birth of our Lord, for no one knows exactly for sure exactly what day that was. And for the Jewish people, Hanukkah is the 25th of Kislev, or as they pronounce it in the Hebrew Bible, Chislev, which is also the 25th of December. Interesting, both on the same day. And while we celebrate the birth of Jesus for one day, for full 8 days, the Jewish people will celebrate their deliverance from Syrian tyranny almost 200 years before the birth of Jesus. And while we light candles and plug in Christmas tree lights, Jewish families will light menorahs. And while we remember Jesus' birth, without knowing it, the Jewish people celebrate something that points to the depth, interestingly, to the depth of our relationship with Jesus, who is the light of the world. In fact, it's right at this very time that Jesus, I mean the time of Hanukkah, that Jesus, in John chapter 10, verses 22 through 33, gives a wonderful and wonderfully important message. It's a message given by Jesus for his people at the time of this celebration, that is the Hanukkah celebration. And so this morning, on the 25th of Kislev, 25th of December, I would like us to consider Jesus' message, which I'm about to read from verses 22 through 33. Then came the feast of dedication. By the way, the word Hanukkah means dedication. And so it's the feast of Hanukkah, the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered. Remember, this is all happening in the temple on Hanukkah. This is how it's confronted and dealt with. Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. You do not believe the miracles I do in my Father's name, which speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, in response to this message, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I've shown you many miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We're not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." That is the reading of his word. God, please bless this incredible sermon from Jesus to us, into the hearts of your people here, given by him for us. And thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. To understand Jesus' message, we do need to understand the celebration that was taking place right then, on the 25th of Cheslev, of December, as Jesus was walking in the temple. You know, when I grew up in New York City, Christmas in our almost entirely Jewish neighborhood was for us a very mysterious Gentile holiday that we watched, actually just watched it from afar. We just got glimpses of it and never really understood. No one ever told us about it, so we never really understood what it was about. Instead, we celebrated Hanukkah, something that I assumed when I was a kid growing up was a holiday that Christmas, I assumed, was a holiday that was invented for all of us Jewish kids so that we also could get some gifts and not feel left out. That's all I could think about it. It didn't have all the accompaniments that, of course, it had different ones that Christmas had. While all the goyim were celebrating Christmas, we had Hanukkah. What I didn't realize until much later was that what we celebrated in our Jewish neighborhood was actually older than Christmas. Went back quite a bit before Christmas. In fact, it began in a place far from my Jewish neighborhood. I assumed it's something we developed in New York City. And about 200 years, maybe even about 220 years before Jesus was born. I think that the closest time I get to this for Hanukkah is either 165 or 175 B.C. at a time when Syria was ruling Israel, and it was a time during which every imaginable evil was happening to the Jewish people in Israel. Slaughter of evils of other kinds that they considered even worse than the killing that took place. Antiochus, I believe Antiochus Epiphanes, the Greco-Syrian emperor, was not only a cruel and evil tyrant who ruled over Israel, but as he attempted to crush Judaism and then to Hellenize Jerusalem, make it of Greek culture and character. And in his hatred for the Jewish people, he also developed more and more of a way of humiliating the Jewish people in every way that was possible for him to do. And during this time in Israel's history, one of these humiliated and oppressed Jews, a righteous man by the name of Mattathias, observed an officer of Antiochus do something they knew was never to be done, offering up a pig, an unclean animal that they wouldn't even, that the Jews, they knew, wouldn't even touch. I mean, as a young Christian, in the fight, we'd be invited into homes and there would be pork or ham or something like that. It was very hard for me because it was something that was so alien, and yet I knew enough of the scriptures to know that I was not to make any offense of that, and yet it was something that was very hard to get used to, even though it was very good. I liked it. Mattathias, observing that officer offering up a pig, an unclean animal, on the very altar of God in the temple, he killed that officer for his blasphemous behavior, and then he called out for the Jewish men to join him to fight against these blasphemous, idolatrous Syrians who were crushing the Jews. Mattathias followed this with a cry, "Whoever is for God, follow me." And joining him were his sons, Jonathan, Yochanan, Shimon, and Yehuda, which is Judah, is pronounced as Judah, also known as Maccabee, which means the hammer. Great name. It's my favorite name, Judah Maccabee, the hammer. I just thought, oh, why didn't they call me the hammer? I would have loved that. So disappointing to realize that my parents could have called me that, instead they called me Richie. It does not have the thrust of Judah Maccabee. And under Judah Maccabee's leadership, a band of warriors precipitated a rebellion against Syria and the armies of Syria, known as the Maccabean Revolt. After 3 years of warfare, 3 years of battle went into their fighting. A battle occurred in the town of Emmaus, which you know, from the road to Emmaus, and Judah Maccabee and his warriors blocked the road from Emmaus to Jerusalem, and in what turned out to be the final battle of that war, they were victorious and defeated the Syrians. But their joy was quickly dashed as they returned to Jerusalem and saw that the holy temple of God, while they were defeating Syria in battle, the temple of God had been completely desecrated by the Syrians. The Torah scrolls had been destroyed. Pagan gods were filling the temple. Even in the Holy of Holies, pigs had been offered on the altar. And that horror-filled sight triggered a huge cleanup, a renovation, a cleanup, a reconstruction. They reconstructed the whole temple because of that, which was finished on... And the Jews finished it on the 25th of Kislev. That's the 25th of December. That is today. On that day, the temple was rededicated. But in their celebration for the dedication, it was to be a major and many-day celebration. They only had a tiny amount of oil to burn in the menorah. And you can read about the menorah. It's very interesting, a picture of it in Exodus chapter 25, verses 31 through 39. It will describe the menorah that was used early on in Israel's history and continued on to the present day. It was only enough oil, and they knew it, to last for one day of lighting up the temple. And that would have staunched and stopped a celebration that was to go on for slightly over a week for a full 8 days. But remarkably, the amount of oil increased and burned for 8 full days, which was just the time they needed to have a new supply of oil made according to the law. This was viewed by them as a miracle. And the Israelites viewed it that way. And since then, Israel came to see this 25th day of Kislev as a day which brought to Israel a great miracle of God. And this 8-day celebration came to be known as Chanukah, which means dedication. Chanukah is the holiday of dedication. There is no other holiday mentioned in the Bible during this season of the year. I don't know if you recognize that, and I don't mean it to be a shock to your system to hear that, but it's accurate. This is the only holiday during this season of the year. And it may surprise you, but Christmas, which came much later, in fact, it came several centuries after Jesus' birth, is not a biblical holiday. It's not found anywhere in the Bible. And while we're told in the Bible to remember and celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection, no mention is made to celebrate Jesus' birth. And I think we can rejoice in it and have messages on it. I've had two this in the last 2 weeks dealing with the birth of Christ. But no mention is made to celebrate Jesus' birth. And you know what's interesting to me? It's just a little aside in a sense, but what's interesting to me is that Jesus never mentions, you know, he mentions it as death. Do this, celebrate this, remembering me, but he never mentions about celebrating his birth. And I can't say anything about that because he doesn't say anything about it, doesn't even mention it. Hanukkah, which began often on December 25th, is the only holiday in the Bible at this time of the year, and was, in fact, as we see, as a passage I read, celebrated by Jesus. It started with the dedication of a few men who refused to see God treated with contempt and blasphemy. It persisted with the dedication of a small militia that had God's glory at the forefront of every thought and action of their lives. And it continued. It continued in the dedication of a temple that was cleansed and ready again for worship. It found its fullness in what? It found its fullness in the ministry of Jesus, who observed that holiday, the holiday of Hanukkah, and who then shows that the reality of dedication, here's what I find so wonderful about this, that who then shows that the reality of dedication points to something far greater, because the reality of dedication is to be understood in the face of his life and his ministry. So let's see Jesus' message to us that he gave on this day 2,000 years ago. In John chapter 10, verse 22, we read that at the time of the feast of dedication that was taking place in Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in Solomon's porch in the temple in Jerusalem. In other words, in the winter, at the time of Hanukkah, Jesus was there in Jerusalem with the Jewish people celebrating the dedication. He had a message, though. He had a message for his people. And this message is one of Jesus', I believe, most powerful sermons in the Bible. Here is what took place on Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication. Jesus is walking in the temple, and the Jews are gathered around Jesus saying, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly already." And Jesus answers, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles that I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And then we read once again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. Here, during Hanukkah, during the feast of dedication of the restored temple to God, Jesus breaks the suspense that they're talking about and tells them what they long to hear. They say, we long to hear this. We want to know. Don't keep us in suspense. Tell us. Tell us if you're the Christ. He tells them what they long to hear. And after centuries of looking for and waiting for the promised Messiah, the very Messiah whom God promised back in Genesis 3:15 is the one who would crush the head of the serpent. Jesus tells them that the Messiah is here. That he is the long-awaited Messiah. That he's come for his sheep. And those who are sheep will recognize him and follow him. And the response of his people, the people who had urged him to reveal the truth of his identity to them, is to turn on him and try to stone him to death when he grants them their request. This is what he has to deal with all the time. They want to know if he's the Messiah. And Jesus tells them plainly that he is the Messiah and that I and the Father are one. He shows them what Mashiach really means, the essential identity with the Father. At this answer, they picked up stones to try to stone him because they say, you make yourself out to be God. They got it. That's the strange part about it, or maybe the sad part. They got it. They understood Jesus' message, but it was not a message they wanted to hear. Not only is Jesus the Messiah, but Jesus is God. This is Jesus' message to his people, and this is the Messiah, the Savior, the one who saves his people from their sins, and he can keep us perfectly, perfectly safe and in his hand. Why? How? Because he is God. He is our God. And on this Hanukkah day, while we're gathered together on this first great day of the feast, and on Christmas Day as well, try and imagine the first Hanukkah commemoration where they dedicate the temple with only enough oil for one day because there's no more oil for any future days of worship. Yes, that first day would see them begin their commemoration and rededication of their temple. But it was most likely on the last day, the high point of such a holy event, although I don't know that this for sure, that in the midst of this huge gathering, while the people's intention and consecration is focused on the temple and its dedication to God, that suddenly the history, the destiny of Israel changes forever in a flash. Why? Because it is at that moment that Jesus, the living temple, is in their midst. And at that, the most sacred moment of this day festival, that Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, Jesus, declares, I give eternal life to my sheep. They shall never perish. In essence, Jesus is saying, salvation belongs to me, and to me alone you're looking for the one who brings salvation. This comes from me. You will not find it anywhere else. But you see, Yeshua is not finished. They also hear that their dedication is to be to him and to him alone. Yes, as much as they love their temple. Their dedication to Jesus is to surpass even their dedication to the temple because he, Yeshua, is the living temple. As Jesus says, I and the Father, Echad, are one essence. Jesus is saying that he, Yeshua, is Israel's Messiah, King, the Savior, and that no Pharaoh, no Antiochus, no one can ever diminish him because no one is greater or more powerful than God is. And he is God. And that no one can ever harm even one of his people. Because God's people are safe and secure, ultimately. Safe and secure in Him. As He says in John 10:28, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They are safe and secure. No one can snatch us out of His hand. He says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. And because of who He is and what He has done, Jesus says that His people are dedicated to Him, and that His people know His voice, that His people hear His voice, that His people follow Him. This year, as we already know from what I've said, Hanukkah takes place on December 25th. But it goes further. It's December 25th through the 31st. Maybe even to the 1st, depending how you count the days and work them out. And so yesterday evening, as the 25th day of Kislev began for them, and as the menorah was being lit in Jewish homes all around the world on the first night of the feast, Jewish people around the world would be reminded that the true worship of God was restored through the unyielding ferocity and dedication of Judah Maccabee, the hammer. By the way, Judah, is the name means in Yehuda, praise the Lord, and it's Judaism comes from that. I think it's the only religion that the wording of it is to the effect of praise God. That's Yehuda. That's Yehuda, Judah, and that's Judaism. So, and it's restored through that ferocity, that tenacity, that dedication of Judah and his followers, and that such courage smashed pagan idolatry and the darkness of the Near Eastern world at that time. And even as this is happening, even so for us as believers in Jesus, a new dedication is taking place, one proclaimed by Jesus. The lighting of the menorah points to the coming of what? Of the light of the world in the coming of Jesus. This is not anymore the dedication of light in the temple, which lasted 8 days. Nor can it ever again be the dedication even of the temple. Even if Jewish leaders today en masse decide they want it to be that way. And that's because for the last 2,000 years there's been no temple. Because the temple was destroyed by Rome. They've missed, over these 2,000 years, my people have missed the deeper dedication for them that is necessary for their soul salvation. The call is not, and never has been, really it's never has been, first and foremost a dedication to that or any temple. It's to be their dedication to the Savior. And that is to be our dedication as well. It's our dedication to Him. Jesus calls us to be dedicated, not to a temple made of stones that has now been destroyed, nor to dead tradition or religion, but to Himself, because He is the cornerstone of the living temple of God, a temple that will never be destroyed, a temple, Peter says, which is made up by His people. What are we called by Peter in that same passage? We are called living stones in the temple that God's building, those who trust in Him and belong to Him. His message on this day, 2,000 years ago, Jesus declares Himself to be the promised Messiah, the one and only Messiah. And He calls His people to follow Him, to dedicate themselves to Him. This holiday of Hanukkah, as you see, coincides with our celebration of the birth of the Savior. But Hanukkah reminds us not of a baby's birth, but of the overcoming of the despair of spiritual darkness and death and sin through the work of Jesus. It reminds us of the breaking of sin and death through Jesus, who is what? Who is the final temple? the final temple, the place upon which sacrifice is made complete once and for all. And you know, with my difficulty and my Jewish brethren who, and even my Hebrew Christian brethren, friends who, and Christian who look forward anxiously for the building of the temple so that sacrifices can be made, don't you understand? The final sacrifice has been made. No other sacrifice can atone for sin. No other sacrifice will even be acceptable at all in the sight of God. The message of Hanukkah is a message of the triumph of the light over darkness. And yes, I'm sure you see it. This is the message of Jesus, who in himself is the light of the world and who triumphed over sin and death. Jesus didn't just light the temple. Friends, Jesus is the temple, just as Jesus is the light. To put it most accurately, which simply means to put it most biblically, Jesus is the true light that lightens every man that comes into the world. That's John chapter 1, verse 9. Jesus' light extends to every man. His light is truly a light that lightens every man, cleansing us, purifying us, granting us new life when we trust him by faith, and leaving each of his people, not everyone, each of his people fully and totally accountable to God. Jesus said of those who believe in him and follow him that they, not the Templeite, that they were the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. These believers were to be a light that would last forever. Indeed, all believers in Jesus are a light which lasts forever. This light, this gospel truth, this good news is for all people. There's no excuse, friends, no excuse for anyone here or anywhere else for rejecting Jesus. May God help all people everywhere to respond in faith to the light of the world. Friends, as I begin to bring this message to a close, and as we come closer and closer to closing out to 2016, I want you to see that our focus needs to be on Jesus today and on Jesus every day. You see, this is about something far, far greater than courage and victory and rededication of a temple. As wonderful as that victory was, and as wonderful as it was for the temple to be rededicated, this is about something far, far greater than a baby in a manger, as marvelous as that event as it was. This is about Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the living stone, the light of the world, Savior. Even as he stands in the temple on Hanukkah, preaching, I want you to see Jesus' message to you today. It's a simple message, but it's a message which, with such important implications, that the people there picked up stones to try to stone Jesus to death. What is this message? Well, you know, this message is all about dedication. Dedication is the name of this biblical holiday. Christ has come. He has died. He has risen. He has ascended into heaven. He has secured salvation. He is reigning now. His promise to you is a sure promise. It's sure. And now, there is a call. There is a call to dedication, which rests with you. I want you to understand that before a holy God, there is a final dedication to consider. My friends, please do not forget. If you belong to Jesus, then you are a living temple. As 1 Peter 2:5 says, and Jesus calls you to a deep and lasting dedication to him above all else. You know, the word dedication means to consecrate. And on that first Hanukkah, the temple, being cleansed, being repaired, was consecrated, dedicated to God, for God's use and for God's glory alone. What about you? As a living temple, will you commit yourself to that dedication and consecration? Will you commit yourself for God's use and for His glory alone. God is calling you to commit yourself to be fully given over and fully dedicated to God. Friends, you've been made by God for the Master's use. Will you let yourself be that Hanukkah vessel? Will you let yourself burn brightly for Him? Friends, you know, on that celebration day, at the high point, on that first and eighth day of such a holy and religious celebration, even as Jesus celebrated it, in that very moment, the final temple, the one made without hands, Jesus Himself was giving eternal life and preparing the way of salvation for all of us. He would soon go to the cross. He would soon suffer the full wrath and punishment for sin on behalf of all of His people so that we might live. So hear, my friends, hear Him. Hear what He has to say. Hear Him once again as He calls for your dedication in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, while He's in the temple during the Feast of Dedication. Interestingly, there's not a single word from Jesus regarding His own birth. I just find that very interesting. That would have been the time, because it was often said to be on that day, this day, the 25th. Jesus, Yeshua, spoke in the temple on that 25th day of Kislev and gave this extraordinary Hanukkah message. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify. They bring witness of me. But you do not believe because you're not in my flock. You're not one of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands, for I and the Father are one. This again is the incredible Hanukkah message of our Lord Jesus Christ. This dedication message speaks volumes to us as a message about a Savior who saves His people and promises that they are safe in Him and will never perish. This is possible through the dedication of the greater temple. Our Lord Jesus Christ humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, Philippians 2:8. And for this reason, Paul continues, so God so highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Yeshua every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and under heaven, on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, is Adonai, is Lord, to the glory of Abba, Elohim, God the Father. Jesus' teaching, friends, you know, it's so pure and it's so simple. It points us to the importance of our trusting in Jesus and receiving the eternal life He promised on the Hanukkah night so long ago. If you do not know Jesus, then this message is a call to you to believe in Yeshua, to confess your sins, to repent of your rejection of the Lord, and to entrust yourself to Him wholeheartedly. Entrust yourself to Jesus and to live then, to live your life for Him. And for those of you who know the Lord Jesus, who trust and believe in Him, it's a call from Jesus for us to remember that we are living stones in a living temple. Such a dedication calls us to turn to Jesus, the light of the world. It calls us to rededicate ourselves to Him. Is your faith growing weak and mild and not what it's supposed to be, not what you remember it to be? Then commit yourself again to Him. Commit yourself every day, every moment to Him, giving your life over to Him, because He is worthy to receive everything that your life even means to you. It's okay The best place in the world is to be in the arms of the Lord with all of our heart's goals and desires handed over to Him. It's a call, you see, for you to hear what Jesus says. And when you do, that is when you hear Jesus' call and you commit yourself and dedicate yourself to God, you will find that you will go beyond all that you are, all that you have, and that you, like Judah Maccabee, the hammer, and like Joshua before him, and like Mary and the apostles after him, you, yes, even you, can become a chosen vessel. You can truly be a living stone in the living temple comprised of every believer who ever called upon the name of the Lord in truth. This message to you is a voice out of eternity, urging you to remember that Jesus says that His sheep know His voice, that His sheep hear His voice, that His sheep, what else? You remember what else they do? They follow His voice. They follow Him. This means for you, friends, that you can know His voice, and when you do, you can dedicate your life to Him. Indeed, having heard His voice, let each of you determine to live out your dedication to God in all that you are and all that you do, knowing that Jesus says that He has given the greatest gift to you, which is true, because He gave you Himself. He promises that He promises you that you can live and never perish, because He who is one with the Father will keep you in His hand. And He can accomplish this because He is God Himself who is with you, and He will bless you with life and a call to a deep and abiding dedication and consecration in Him and to Him and for Him. This is what life in Yeshua is all about, friends. This is it. It's not a puzzle that's impossible to understand. It is simple. It's not a Rubik's Cube that you got to struggle for hours to figure out. No, this is life in Him. And so on this Hanukkah, Christmas Day, go out and live it for His glory. Remember, the light of the world has come. And you, my friends, you are His lights until He comes again. Let's pray. Father, thank You for a call from You to us to dedicate our lives in service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Please, Lord, let us not be content with halfway, half-time, half-hearted. Oh God, help each one of us here to know what it means when our lives are just left in Your hands, trusting You, confident in You, ready to serve and give all that we are and all that we have, even if it were to be our life, for Your glory, for Your kingdom, for Your name, for Your love. We pray in the precious and holy name, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, in His name. Amen.